I am so excited to announce our new platform launch, the49ersrush.com. We've been active on Patreon for years, and we're still going to keep that community going, but the49ersrush.com has everything Patreon offers and a bunch more. You want to watch player breakdowns? Guess what? You click that. It's filtered based on players. You want to see Javon Hargrave, what he brings, some CMC tape broken down, IU, Jair Brown. We've got hundreds and hundreds of tapes on. Now, you want football 101. You want to learn scheme? Guess what? We've got every single offensive, defensive, special team snap. Head over to the49ersrush.com, sign up, join the community, and plus we got a 7-day free trial. So.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close.
Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It is absolutely great to be with you guys today, and this is obviously not a play-in show whatsoever, but I've been up on the mountain. Took the family up to Tahoe for just a quick two-day little, we do those quick little ones, balling on a budget as always. But, you know, I didn't get to go live yesterday with all the Robert Saleh news and Nick Sorensen news and Brandon Staley news. I mean, there's just news kept coming down. Now, as we are recording, this is a very rare Friday 4 p.m. show, which we don't do a lot here. The metrics and all that stuff are always terrible on Friday afternoons, but I don't care. This show's for me and for those of you that are just like, you're stuck and you're like, man, I want to know what is happening. So this is going to be a little bit of a recap as far as social media has been told, and from the insiders for the Bucks and Liam Combe, that alone is worth a movie in and of itself. Like, that is a Hollywood script, and we're going to kind of break down what happened with Liam Combe. And that's why the title of this show, 49ers, better lucky than good. That's not an insult. That better, like, football and sports in general, and sometimes even life, you just got to be lucky. Sometimes things have to go your way. And I think the 49ers got pretty damn lucky. Now, the writing is on the wall. It's not finalized yet that Robert Saleh is going to return as defensive coordinator. I did not have this. I thought it was very low chance. One, why return back to a job that you had previously? The 49ers upped, you know, their stakes. And, hey, we'll make you the highest paid defensive coordinator in the NFL. And again, yeah. One of the things that I kind of discounted is, man, why would you not love to be a defensive coordinator with Nick Bosa and Fred Warner and Diamandour Lenore and Renardo Green? Like, you're getting these rookies and just stud. You coach not one, but two Hall of Famers. Yeah, Nick Bosa's not there yet. The trajectory's there if the continuity's there. Fred Warner, in my opinion, is already, we've talked about this offseason, he's a Hall of Famer. Like, if he didn't play anymore, I think Fred Warner is already a Hall of Famer. Might have to wait a little while. But the 49ers job is, and you're replacing somebody that completely ruined the reputation of this defense. Literally 32nd in so many different categories, like rushing touchdowns allowed, fourth quarter points allowed. Like, you get to step in and be a savior with a Hall of Fame caliber defensive player times two. So I kind of discounted that. That's on me. But I am going to record and talk about the show as if, not final as of this recording, Friday night, 4:19 p.m., I think that it's going to happen. So we're going to detail Robert Saleh. We're going to talk a little bit about the Cohen thing. We're going to talk a little bit about Pete Carroll and just the NFL landscape and how this has affected the 49ers. We're going to talk about Nick Sorensen and kind of what's happening there. Seems like he's on the outs too. And never celebrate people losing their jobs, but I'm very thankful that the 49ers are going to get improved. And the chance of Nick Sorensen calling plays for this defense or special teams seems next to nil. That is a great thing if you're a 49ers fan. That man has no business ever calling plays again anywhere in the NFL. Maybe a decade after he changes his entire philosophy, but the Niners are getting better, and that is great, great news. And also, Brandon Staley might be out as well. Bobby Slowick just got fired. Goodness, man, talk about the Shanahan loyalty program. Bring them all back. There's a lot to get to in today's show. This is episode 1318 of the 49ers Rush Podcast, and I don't know if you can tell, John Chapman's a little excited. Literally just got off the mound. We drove back from Tahoe. Maybe have been in the house for 15 minutes, haven't unpacked or anything, said hi to the dog, ran to the restroom, filled up my water, made a thumbnail, and I'm here with you. I have been itching to just talk Niners. I'm so excited. So excited. Appreciate everybody showing up. All the hashtag CCs. I'm way behind on the chat already. Right here, Hugo. Hashtag CC. Are the 49ers Avengers reassembling? Yeah, there we go. We're doing the work for you, Disney/Marvel. Avengers reassemble. Yeah, man, come on. Yeah, you get Captain America to say it. That'll work. And I like it, man. Shanahan loyalty program. It's in effect. It's undefeated. It's lost a lot of games. But there are positives to that. I agree. Joel, what's up, Joel? He says, live show. That's what. And speaking of Joel, for those of you that know, he's a freaking hero, and he lives in the Philippines. Appreciate all your service that you've done for us. But we always get a hangout whenever we do our Zoom hangouts. Now, we do a Zoom hangout session every single month, and I kept kicking it back, because I'm just waiting on, man, when is a DC or special teams coordinator going to be announced? Like, just waiting and waiting and waiting. Well, it's just not happening, and still hasn't happened. So we are going to have our next Jerry Rice tier Zoom hangout meeting this Tuesday, the 28th of January at 5:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. So I haven't posted the details yet on Patreon, and I have not posted them on the 49ersrush.com. I'll do that after this show's over. So don't go over there for the Zoom link. I'll post that later. Now, if you haven't joined us for these, this is where we get to hear from you, and it's just a blast. Some of the greatest people I've met in this entire, 8 years, 8.5 years, almost 9 years now. Incredible. People like Joel. I could go on and on. But anyway, if you want to join us, go to the 49ersrush.com, sign up there, Jerry Rice tier and above. That's for the Zoom hangouts. All of our draft breakdowns and all that stuff's Frank Gore and below. But we got a 7-day free trial. So go check that out. Join us over there. What's up, Josh? You're the freaking man. Vince, we got a lot of people in the chat. I love it, man. This is incredible. I'm excited. Yeah, Vince, he says, Chapman in the evening? Live? Yeah, we're in rare territory right now. And so let's take advantage. Let's have some fun. Let's talk. And also, just scheduling news, I want to be doing a show in the morning, bright and early, 9 a.m. Saturday. I think tomorrow's Saturday. With Larry Kruger, we're going to do a mock draft together. A little battling mock draft. We'll see how that goes. He likes trades. I like trades too, but he really likes trades. So we're going to do that 9 a.m. in the morning. So we got a Friday night show. We got a Saturday morning show where we're trying to get as much out as we can. Josh, incompetent move by the 49ers to this point. I agree with that. And I have been very vocal about, man, Saleh coming back would be great. But let's dive into it. Robert Saleh was a finalist for not one, not two, but three head coaching jobs. Three of them. You had Jacksonville, you had the Raiders, and you had the Cowboys, all of which he earned the second, right? He made the trip to Hollywood or whatever with American Idol. I don't know what they say. But he was in the finalists for all three head coaching jobs, and the Niners just sat back, shrugged their shoulders, and said, we're good. We're good. And, I put out, let's see here. I've got my notes dated here. Here we go. On the 22nd, so just 3 days ago, I said my percentages. This was right after Liam Cohn pulled his name out of the Bucks head coaching job. And so my percentages were Robert Saleh 30% as the 49ers DC, Brandon Staley 65%, and just random whoever else the field 5%. I was low. I was like, man, it looks like now Robert Saleh was the betting favorite. And I was just like, gosh. And so that's whenever I recorded that show. That was show 13-17, trade back mock draft. We talked about that beforehand. And again, I'm citing my failure here because I thought it was a done, not done deal. I had a still getting a 30% chance, 1 out of 3, a little lower than that. But it seemed like Cohen was the favorite. Then it was Saleh. Then it was the Raiders guy, which turned out to be a farce. And he ended up canceling the interview and all those things. Well, Liam Cohen pulls his name out. Immediately, this is kind of the saga that brought the 49ers back into being favorites for Robert Saleh, right? And so immediately, it starts getting put out there that the Bucs are going to make Liam Cohen, their offensive coordinator, the highest paid OC in the NFL or amongst the highest paid OCs. And that was awesome. But it was like, gosh, I was pissed. I was like, they're going to get freaking Robert Saleh. They're going to get Robert Saleh. He's one of two finalists now. I didn't like it. Nobody liked it. But then they fire Trent Baalke immediately. And so that's like, uh-oh, like, what's happening here? It was just kind of a mix-up, and everybody was just like, well, that's kind of weird to fire him after that interview. But then the Bucs and all the beat writers for Tampa Bay are putting out all this positive Liam Cohen stuff, and they're like, yeah, we're going to sign him to, you know, the highest deal, blah, 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 whatever else. But nothing was ever official. It was kind of weird. And now we have a lot of this information start to trickle out that guess what? Liam Cohen is now talking with Shad Khan, the owner of the Jacksonville Jaguars again. But it's like a little bit of a hush-hush. Well, man, a lot of very respected NFL writers have kind of put out how insane this has been to the point where, like, this is Hollywood drama. He never signed the deal with the Bucs. It wasn't finalized. Then the Bucs couldn't get a hold of him. He wasn't returning their calls to the point where it got put out there from a I don't want to put his name out there, whatever else. The tweet's out there if you want to go check it out. Major NFL reporter. Liam Cohen's telling him his son is sick and they might have to go to the hospital. And this is why he's not returning the calls. Meanwhile, he's in Jacksonville. Again, it's all speculation, but this is what's out there from major reported news sites. And all this back and forth, and he stops returning their calls. Then at the same time that this is going on, the Robert Saleh, Matt Maiocco puts out there, Michael Silver puts out there, it's likely the 49ers are going to sign Robert Saleh soon. And so Robert Saleh goes from being the main contender for that Bucs job to now he's not even going to fly out for the second interview, which was supposed to take place today. And so it's almost like, oh, wait a second. Y'all are heavily pursuing Liam Cohen. So much so that not only Robert Saleh canceled the Friday, so did the Raiders DC canceled as well. Everybody else pulled out. They left. We're done with that. We're not going to be second fiddle here. And it turned out that, man, Khan really wanted Liam Cohen. And so all that just gets drug out. Now you're starting to get these positive 49ers, Robert Saleh back. Then you're starting to get these mentions of, man, what about the Raiders? The Raiders are one of the finalists for Pete Gum-Chewing Carroll all at the same time. And it's just like, what? The dominoes start falling. And the places to land, even the Cowboys jumping in. Brian Schottenheimer is the favorite to land that job, which is hilarious in and of itself. Cowboys are idiots. But all the pieces start falling. And it winds up with, man, it seems like pretty much a done deal. Now, why hasn't it been announced yet? I don't know the answer to that. I really, really don't. And I'm just refresh. I'm over here because I expect news to drop soon.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
But all intents and purposes, where we are sitting right now, it looks like Robert Saleh is coming back. And on top of that, not only is Robert Saleh coming back, but now Brandon Staley is likely heading out, who was the fallback plan, if you want to call it that, to be the defensive coordinator. If Robert Saleh landed one of those head coaching jobs, I fully anticipated it being none other than Brandon Staley. Now, I was higher on Brandon Staley than most, but his system, Robert Saleh's system, hey, man, you basically tell Robert Saleh, look, you come back, we're going to make you the highest paid DC. That's been said, and that doesn't affect the cap or anything. That's just Jed York's money, so awesome. But, yeah, you get to pick your staff. You get to do whatever else you want, which he worked with all the guys that were here anyway. I think that's important. But, yeah, Robert Saleh's like, look, dude, I don't want Brandon Staley there. And maybe even Brandon Staley's like, look, dude, I came here. I sat with you for a year, learned the system. If I'm not going to be the DC or a coordinator or something, let me bounce elsewhere. I don't know where he's going to land a job. Nobody's requesting to interview Brandon Staley. It's a weird situation. Monkey Boy, appreciate the super chat. He says, if it happens, 99% happy about Saleh. 1% mad. Kyle gets reassured in his handling of this. And I've already got people like coming at me on social media, and I'm behind because I've been skiing with the family and whatever. Oh, you said your percentage. What are the percentages now? Told you Kyle knows better than you. Yeah, Kyle's in charge. He gets to decide things. I still think that they 100% did not handle the backup plan very well, but it seems Shanahan was very, very happy with Brandon Staley being the guy. Obviously, Robert Saleh was the number one, but you had an opportunity to kind of like never interviewed Ulbrich, never interviewed Dennis Allen, never interviewed a lot of the prominent DCs that were out there that ran similar front line, even fronts and cover three and all that kind of stuff. It just seemed weird. And so, yeah, I'm with you completely. And again, the title of the show, Better Lucky Than Good. I'm so happy about what's happening. Now, was Robert Saleh my number one? He was not, but he was in my top four. And I was like, man, if we get any of these four, I'm going to be elated. And it seems that is the case. And so, yeah, I'm excited. And yeah, let's go through some of the chat. Let me pause a little bit because I know I'm talking a mile a minute. I'm just so excited right now. I'm so pumped because not only, so excited. What's up, Sid? Appreciate you. Mike, all hell, the awfulness of Balky, because it seemed like he screwed us. It seemed like Liam Cohen left because of Balky, which it seems to be the case. He gets fired immediately after he pulls his name out. And then, oh, once I thought I was out, they pulled me back in. Balky, who has screwed the 49ers over for so long, and it seemed like he was going to do it again. Oh, man, freaking love it. Josh, Saleh coming back. Go get Nick Skorton to pair him with. And you know what's funny? This might be a little bit of an overreaction, and I don't think that this was like promised in the discussion or whatever else, but it does seem like defensive line is going to be even more of an opportunity or percentage perhaps to be that first round pick with Robert Saleh coming back. I'm just going to be honest. Now, do I think that that was talked about? Like, hey, you got to spend the first round pick on a D lineman? No, but in the interview, what do you think it's going to take for our defense to get better? You don't think that he said you've got to seriously invest in the defensive line? You got to get young players in? Yeah, Nick Skorton's going to be on that list. As much as I hate it, I hate all A&M players, but that dude's a difference maker. And Nick Skorton is definitely one of those players that I think could see going in the top 11 that a lot of people are not seeing. Very rare blend of size, athleticism, and production. Yeah, he's up there, no doubt. Saleh going to look like a genius coming here. And I know that one of the conflicts that I think people have in Robert Saleh returning is like, man, he's a finalist for all these other head coaching jobs. And people say like, oh, it's a gentleman's agreement. He was always coming back. No, he wasn't. Why are you taking second and third interviews with other teams for a higher paying job if he was always going to come here? To me, that never made sense. But to come back here And for the people that say, but what if he just leaves soon? Well, that means one, you had a good enough defense to warrant another team giving him a head coaching job. Two, if he's here for two or more years, you get those pair of compensation picks again. That's great news. So you will never be able to maintain and hold a defensive coach for the 49ers as long as Shanahan's here. And the anomaly of this is you look at the freaking Kansas City Chiefs and Spags. Like, that's the anomaly. He got a couple head coaching interviews. How he didn't land a job, I know he sucked as a head coach before with the St. Louis Rams, but, like, that's a rarity. So maybe, just perhaps, maybe Saleh could be our Spags. Is he as good? I think my respect for Steve Spagnuolo is the highest in the NFL. I think that he is the best play caller, offense, defense, period. I think he's a better defensive play caller than Shanahan is an offensive play caller, than McVay is. Like, does that make sense? Spagnuolo's that damn good. Maybe Robert Saleh could be that for us. It's a very similar career trajectory where he dominated the defensive side, goes, gets a head coaching job with a terrible run franchise and a terrible owner, St. Louis Rams versus the New York Jets, and then returns back to the DC role. Why not? Now, I think Saleh is a little bit more employable as a head coach because of his personality and his likability and just his passion comes off the charts. He's a natural born leader. I don't know about Spags. I don't follow him that close. I just watched the tape. I would love for Saleh to come back and stay. And if he's getting paid, cool. But if he leaves in 2 to 4 years, as long as he doesn't leave in 1 year. And I think that's the one thing that I think is the holdup is, look, dude, we're going to make you the highest paid defensive coordinator, but you got to stay for 2 years. You got to stay for at least 2 years. So if you get the head coaching job offer to the Dallas Cowboys next year or wherever, probably a much better place than that. Nobody wants to go to the Cowboys. That's why they're going to set on Brian Schottenheimer. Losers. Oh, man. If you know a Cowboys fan, you always pile on. But it's like there is no hope for the Cowboys. There's none. Not as long as Jerry's around, but then his son's not better. And his grandson, who knows? Like, gosh, man, the Cowboys are just dire. Just dire. But whatever. Wherever Saleh's number one spot would be to be head coach, you've got to say, like, look, dude, you got to be here for two or more years. That's one of the things that I think has to come across. Vince says, love the passion, Sean. Yeah. One day of not talking Niners, and I was just chomping at the bit. I was in the hot tub with the family, and I'm dying to have football conversation with anybody that comes in there. We're talking. We're having a good time. But, yeah, anyway, it's what it is. Let's keep going. Yeah, I want to talk about the special teams coordinator, Brant Boyer, but let's wait on that. I want to try my hardest to keep trying to get some of as much of this talk on here as possible. Joe Beer, we are going to get stuck with Staley if Saleh is not the DC. I do agree with that. It's Saleh or Staley, I think, at this point. And everybody keeps saying he's going to the Raiders. I do not see that happening. Now, he did coach under Pete Carroll. Now, here's the thing. The Raiders and Mark Davis are cash strapped. You look at the owner's net value and whatever else. Mark Davis is on the lowest of the low totem poles for they have to apply to the NFL every year to have a cash exemption because they don't carry enough cash to pay all the salary cap things. And so they don't meet the ratio rules for amount of net whatever in the bank accounts every single year. Salary that goes to coordinators and coaches is not even in that doesn't cover the salary cap. That's just 100% out of the owner's pocket. I'm not saying that they couldn't pay him. I'm not saying that they couldn't do those things. I'm saying it's going to be harder. If you look at the Yorks, financial, whatever, they're kind of top five in the NFL. You look at the Davis family, they are bottom two in the NFL. They are by far one of the lowest of the lows. So, like, that makes it harder. Can they float that and pay that much? Perhaps. And, yeah, I do think that that makes sense with Pete Carroll. He's coached under Pete Carroll before. He played under Pete Carroll. No, he coached under him. Seattle with Gus Bradley and all them back in those days. So yeah, that's there. that makes sense. But I don't think he's going there. I really don't. And I don't think that it's official. Everybody keeps saying Saleh's going to go to the Raiders. I don't buy that yet. I really don't. I really don't. So, and yeah, nothing is for certain. But, man, we're in the offseason. Why can't we enjoy go down this path? And if the 49ers do lose him to the Raiders, then we're going to be back in it. Because you've got your quote-unquote insiders releasing. We don't think, you know, certain people are coming back. We don't think Nick Sorensen's coming back. We'll talk about that in a minute. We don't think Brandon Staley's coming back. That's huge as well. Mike, he says, ha, take that. You get the DC you want, Chapman, take that. Yeah, that's what I want. And people talking trash on me, it's just like, hey, man, no worries. Right here, John is from 40 Hours Throwback. Saleh going to bring back Joe Woods. I wasn't the biggest Joe Woods fan, but he has done very, very well. At different spots, he never should be a DC. He should just be a DB coach. One of my favorite coaches, on the staff defensively, KJ Wright. I've been hyping that dude up since training camp. Another one of those all Seattle guys. He just needs more experience. And Bullock's our safeties coach. So if you bring back Joe Woods, is he the corner coach? Like Bullock's was one of our DC interviews last year. You remember that? They chose to go with Sorensen, which was the wrong choice, completely wrong choice. But I wouldn't be mad if Joe Woods comes back. I wouldn't be upset. He's not my favorite, but he's a damn good coach. I just don't want him as a defensive coordinator. That's not what I want at all. Invader, he says, who do you like better, Skorton or Nolan? I think Skorton has the higher ceiling. Nolan's the bigger need. I like both of them. Right here, Dr. Steep Rule, any chance KJ Wright jumps ship for a position coach role? God, I hope so. I'm so high on him. You know, Johnny Holland, he's coached forever, and he's a great dude. KJ Wright is the future of that linebacker spot. I'm not saying you push Holland out, but and Shanahan's done a great job. This happened with D'Amico. Remember, D'Amico was an assistant. He got offered the Houston Texans linebacker position coach, and Shanahan said, nope. Blocked that and promoted him. Like, we're keeping D'Amico. And then eventually you did lose him as a head coach. You couldn't block that. I think KJ Wright, I'm telling you, that dude is valuable. This would not shock me at all. And I would love this. Invader Niner. KJ Wright will be named DC after Saleh leaves. He should definitely be in the heir apparent for the D. Like, he should be in the conversation. I do like Bullock's, though. I really do like Bullock's. And yeah, Joe, why has Saleh not signed his contract yet? No clue. Yeah, I can't answer that for you. Contracts take a while to get done. I don't know. If they promised to already make him the highest paid DC, what is it that's making the holdup? Amount of time committed, guaranteed money, control of the defense, picking your favorite position coaches. Maybe you don't want a certain guy back. Maybe you don't want a Kucerik. Maybe you don't want a Holland. Maybe you don't want a Bullocks. I'm just throwing these are all things. Like, dude, let me get my D-line coach in there that I want. Let me get my, and it's just conjecture, but it's all of those things. Like, who knows? Right here, AW, KJ Wright coaching Senior Bowl, going to be scouting Niners. Look out, Mike Green. That's huge, man. I love the KJ Wright. I think somebody else, I've been talking KJ Wright since, and this isn't like a me first, but usually whenever I start seeing similarities in the chat, it's because there's another show. I don't get to listen to all the shows, sadly. They're all great. Support them all. That's great. Wherever you get your content, man, that's awesome. I love that. I'm not a competition guy. I think I love the fact that there's 69er podcasts or content creator, whatever you want to call it. I think that's a good thing because you're going to get your flavor, right? And so my flavor is not everybody's flavor. And so I think somebody else is hyping up KJ Wright that creates content. And I think that's a great thing because that dude is special. I truly do believe that. He says Shrine Bowl. I think it is the Shrine Bowl. I don't think he's going to the Senior Bowl, but I hope he is. Let's see here. Law of all. Salah had elite number one stats last year before a stat. Yeah, you look. I think I have this bookmarked. Let me see here. I do think I have this. This graphic was put out. Let me see here. I can make this look cool or whatever. Yeah, let me share my screen. We're going to do this. I'm really technologically advanced. This was put out and has been put out several times. The defensive ranks of Robert Saleh with the Jets before he got fired. So he got fired week six. So this is all before. So the first 5 weeks of the season. The defensive ranks for the Jets. First in yards per play. Second in yards per pass play. Second in opponents' yards per game. Fifth in points per game. All of them top five. Now, this is only four categories. So definitely kind of cherry-picked. But the drop from week five, whenever he was let go, so the first 5 weeks they had Saleh, then from there on, they went from first to 10th in yards per play. They went from second to 26th in yards per pass attempt. They went from second to 15th in opponents' yards per game. They went from fifth to 28th in points per game. That is a Nick Sorensen drop, right? He went first under Steve Wilks and points in the fourth quarter to dead last. How do you go first in something to 32nd in something in one season? And so maybe this was pushing a little bit against Jeff Ulbricht and all those things. And maybe that's why he never got, you know, that interview with the Niners. Yeah, I don't know. Again, conjecture. Like we're just, that's what this is until it all comes out. Again, KJ Wright, be the next D'Amico Ryans. I freaking hope so. Right here, Aaron, all the Saints, the eights again, because they ain't got a coach. They're about the only team that can't let a coach. Them and the Cowboys, and those are two places you don't want to go. I've talked about this. Like, look, I'll put this up there again. And I have, like, this was put out there. Teams that have good cap and are returning snaps. The Saints are the outlier. They are in the worst cap situation, period. They don't have a quarterback of the future, period. They have one of the oldest rosters, period. The Saints are not in a good place. That's why they're everybody's fallback. So much so that you have Aaron Glenn, who played a lot for the Saints, coached for the Saints, didn't even like consider them and went to the Jets, who are a terrible place, but at least they have a good cap space and he can kind of do whatever. So the Saints are just, oh, they're in a bad situation. So who's going to be their coach? Who's going to be the Cowboys coach? Brian Schottenheimer? Really? Brian Schottenheimer? Like, dude can't even get an offensive coordinator interview to save his life. You're going with the OC? He can't even get an OC job? You're going to make him head coach? All right. All right. That's huge. I love it, man. Oh, Cristiano, what's up? He says, 9:30 p.m. in Brazil. I'm drinking beer. Let's go. Super Bowl coming home. 2025 49ers vibes. Just can't go better. Now, what do they say in Texas? The hay's not in the barn yet, right? Like, Saul is not the defensive coordinator. But it sure as hell is looking like that. It sure is. And I know people are out there talking. Look at Aaron. I'm telling you, the Raiders, they might be a consideration, but the quote that was put out there is, if Robert Saleh comes back as DC anywhere, it's going to be with the Niners. And Aaron, Mark Davis is so cash poor, he cuts his own hair. There we go. Gosh, that A-cord cut is rough. Yeah, Raiders just always broke. Davis is an NFL billionaire snap. Ha, ha, ha. If you compare them, just, dude, they have to apply for exemptions every year, and the cash is what I'm saying. So if it gets into a bidding war, why would Robert Saleh go to Vegas over the 49ers? Max Crosby's great. Christian Wilkins is a stud. But that defense is good, but it's not as good as the 49ers. I believe that. I really, really do believe that. Celestial. Shanahan stood by Saleh and believed in him when lots of people were calling for his job, which led to him getting a head coaching gig. I imagine he's greatly appreciative of that Shanahan loyalty program. He don't fire anybody. Even Nick Sorensen didn't get fired. That's crazy to me. But I had a lot of people reaching out to me in the past 24 hours saying, man, but you know, Salah doesn't adjust. And that was my biggest critique in 2017. Never adjusted, not even after the half. Now, 2018, he didn't adjust till halftime. 2019, then he started making adjustments, even in the first half. Now, Salah is a little bit more of a slow-moving adjuster, for sure. No doubt about that. But, golly, we just went through Nick Sorensen. That dude didn't know what an adjustment was. He ran the exact same coverages on every third down in the first quarter as he did in the fourth quarter. Never adjusted. And he had like one or two wrinkles that he would throw out every game, but he never went back to them and he'd delete them after they worked. So, like, again, how, like, D'Amico Ryans, let me say this. If I had to rank the defensive coordinators that have been here during the Shanahan scheme, D'Amico Ryans is number one by a long shot, okay? But number two is Robert Saleh, and Robert Saleh is incredible. Number three is Wilkes, huge gap from Saleh, and then the largest gap in the history of mankind, Wilkes all the way down to Sorensen. Like, that dude had no business with that job ever. And it was apparent week one. It was apparent week four, week eight, week 12, and it got even more apparent week 16, 17, 18. He just got worse and worse and worse, never improved. It just got worse. So, D'Amico, then you got Saleh, then big gap Wilkes, the biggest gap ever, Nick Sorensen. So, part of the reason why I'm so excited is we know what he is. He's coached Fred Warner. He's coached Bosa. He's coached a lot of these guys. He's coached with these position coaches. So, oh, man, I love it. Right here, Dr. Steve Brohl, they chased Woods out of Cleveland with pitchforks. They did, and rightfully so. He should not be a defensive coordinator. He should not be a defensive coordinator. He should not be a defensive coordinator. Nick Sorensen should not be a coordinator of any way, shape, or form. Oh, man. And right here, this might be true. Great one says, you know, maybe Saul is still waiting on that Cowboys head coaching job. That is a possibility. I doubt it. Yeah, Ed, Saul is getting all he can right now. He knows we want him. He knows all of our eggs are in one basket, and that's a problem with this process. Better lucky than good. Better lucky than good, right? That's why we put that in there. That's why we put that up there. Now, if you do feel like you're lucky and you do feel like you know who's going to win these AFC and NFC championship games, well, there's only one place to go to. It's win or go home for the NFL playoffs, and all roads lead to New Orleans. But here's the thing. Your chance to get in on every high-stakes moment along the way starts with MyBookie. MyBookie is the ultimate destination for bettors who want more. Whether you're backing the underdogs, riding with the favorites, every drive, every touchdown, every moment is an opportunity to win big. And you can kick off 2025 right. They have risk-free Thursdays. That's where you place a bet. And if it doesn't hit, MyBookie has your back. Dive into the Bet Boost tab to supercharge your picks and build that bankroll before the Super Bowl. And even when the games are over, the action doesn't stop with MyBookie's online casino. Blackjack, Baccarat, Roulette, Slots, it's all there whether you're celebrating a big win or you're gearing up for the next round. And if you haven't joined yet, use promo code 49ERS49ers on your first deposit. MyBookie will hook you up with an instant bonus because you deserve to start strong. Season isn't just about watching history unfold. It's about being part of it. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere, and I mean anywhere, with MyBookie. All right, we got some pretty good comments coming up. And I think that this is kind of cool. Then we're going to transition to talking special teams, because I think special teams is important. Mike, he says, the Niners defense will improve more than any other defense next year. It cannot get worse. And again, let's revisit, okay, just how bad things were. Now, remember, you were a top five unit in every metric pretty much under Wilkes. And Wilkes was, we chased him out of town. We fired him. You got to get out of the booth, all that stuff, right? We gave up the 29th most points scored. We have Hall of Famers on this defense. Hall of Famers, plural. 29th in points scored. Now, we were 8th in yards. That's what he hung his hat on, right? 23rd in turnovers. That's awful. We were top 5 in that. Fifth in passing yards. We didn't give up a lot of passing yards. That was a good thing. 15th passing touchdowns. We were 30th. The most rushing touchdowns allowed in Niners defense history since it's been tracked. You got to go all the way back to the 1990s when they started tracking that. The most. Since Dennis Erickson. So freaking bad. And then you look at third downs, 24th. Fourth downs, 25th. Red zone percentage tied for dead last. Points in the fourth quarter, tied for dead last. We're not getting worse. Mike, even if Saleh doesn't do a great job, he will do better than Sorensen. Agreed. I love this. Logan, lots of laughing emojis. Chapman talking crap about Sorensen always makes me laugh. Here's why. Okay, so let me say this, and I don't know if this comes across a lot. Coaching matters to me, and I believe in meritocracy in a lot of areas, especially whenever it comes to football. And I think one of my things that I love about Shanahan early on, he championed this, right? And you let these guys earn their thing, and we see it on the playing field, right? Matt Breida over Joe Williams, right? Elijah Mitchell over Trey Sermon. Brock Purdy over Trey Lance. Brock Purdy over, like, you go on and on and on. I think that's huge. And so when those things happen, it's awesome because people earned it. Nick Sorensen never earned anything. He was just nice and agreed with Shanahan all the time and patted him on the back. And whenever, like, there are 32 defensive coordinators in the world in the NFL at the highest pinnacle, whatever. There's 32 of them. And you mean to tell me Nick Sorensen's in that 32? You mean to tell me Jake Brindle's in the 32 best centers in the NFL? Right? You see? These are the guys that I, like, lose my mind on. Because they are not. Fugazi. They're not there. And they should be there. And whatever. And I love it whenever, like, the blanket thing. I don't think I'm a highly critical person whenever it comes to the 49ers. Like, I'm a fan. I'm not a beat reporter. I'm not an analyst. I'm a fan. I wear Niners stuff. I go to Niners games. I pay Niner prices. Like, I buy tickets. I'm a Niner fan. That's what I am. And I don't think that I'm that critical. And I do think I am pretty positive. Probably the most complaints I get is that I'm a homer or whatever else. And that's cool. That's a legit criticism of me. I don't problem that. But whenever I do criticize anything with anything, I get, Kyle knows better than you. You think you know everything. You're negative for clicks. And I'm like, man, if there is anybody that doesn't give a shit about clicks, it's me. Because I do shows that I know will not get downloads and not get views. Because I do them for me. Because of the nostalgia's sake of it. Like, I'm not the guy that's going to put something out there for clickbait. That's just not who I am. I'm like the anti of that. I will make stupid shows that nobody will watch and go live at times that are not beneficial financially for my sponsors or whatever, just because I want to do it. And that's okay. So whenever I get all of the criticism, it doesn't bother me. It's just funny. I'm like, man, come on. Don't lump me in with those people. I ain't those people. I'm not them. So don't say I'm like them, because that makes you like them. And don't be like them. Anyway, Ed, right? He says, so glad we don't have to go through therapy mode after the games and watch John in excruciating pain. Dude, it drives me crazy. I've been on the sidelines as a coaching staff. Again, high school, it's different. And you have coaches on your own team. And, you know, I was the head coach at the time. I was a coordinator. But, like, it's not my job as the DC or special teams coordinator to know. And you can hear the plays going in, and you're just like, no, he's not doing this again. And you can't voice that. That's not your job, right? The light chain of command. All this. But as a fan, no. And that's what I am. And so, yeah, my criticism is going to come across, especially those post games, whatever. I'm sitting there in the stands, and I'm like, no, he just telegraphed man coverage from the jump. It's 3rd and 7. No, don't do that. They're motioning to trips. Bunch. No, don't do that. Stack your coverage. Oh, look at that. Busted coverage. 3rd down. Free 1st down of the game on the line. Up. Oh, playoffs are done. Like, that hurts. That hurts. And you see it happening in slow motion. It's like a train wreck. And it's just like, no, don't do that. Ah. And it just happens all the time. And I show it on the field breakdowns, and, you know, it's what it is. Tommy, my man, what's up, Shredder? He said, appreciate the super chat. John already misses Wonder Bread. I call him Pet Rock. Tommy calls him Wonder Bread. There ain't nothing wrong with that. So let's transition and let's talk about special teams. And I love this. I'm so happy. I love talking special teams. No clicks on special teams. I love special teams. AJ, appreciate you. Any thoughts on the special teams coordinator that might come with Saleh? That is none other than Brant Boyer, who is an undercover superhero. Anytime you have the alliteration names, the double B, BB, that's what it is. Superhero. Brant Boyer. Now, I don't know much about his tape and scheme and all those things. But if we look at Brant Boyer, the one thing that you have to say is the Jets head coaching has been abysmal. I don't use that word too much anymore. It's been that bad. He has been the special teams coordinator through not one, not two, but three regime changes with the Jets. That's saying a lot. And I think Saleh, I get why he would want to bring him here. Again, I don't know the metrics, all that fun stuff. I haven't been there yet. Haven't been there yet, but I'm excited. So now, with the special teams news out there, what's up, Matt? Appreciate you, man. I want to get to that super chat in a second. You've got Brant Boyer, Chris Tabor, Chris Banjo, and Jet Motkins. That's four guys. You know, again, I haven't broken down the analytics, but all will be an improvement. How do you fire Richard Hightower? You didn't fire him. You allowed Richard Hightower. He's a buddy of Kyle's from Shanahan, from Texas, Shanahan loyalty program. Leave. Go to the Bears. You let them find other employment. Didn't fire them. Don't fire your buddies. And somehow you got worse with Brian Schneider. Again, the law of averages say you can't be worse than dead last. And so Brant Boyer, the experience. I want a special teams coordinator that's done it before. I want the experience. This guy's done it and been successful at it for a while. And he's found great returners. Not good, great returners. Matt, appreciate you, man. Super chat. He says, stay calm and trust the process. See, I know you, Matt, and you put the smiling emojis, and you text me, and we text each other. You know that got to under my skin. I don't think that Kyle deserves credit for the process. Better lucky than good. I think we got lucky here, and I hope we get to close the deal, and I hope we bring back Robert Saleh. I still think that you have to exhaust all possibilities and turn over every rock. And do your due diligence, like they always say, the draft and free agency. But yeah, right here, Mike, can't get worse. Jason, what's up, Captain? He says, I know his scheme is better than Schneider's was. Dude, that dude just so many errors. And I know people know better than me, but man, it was so bad. My thing was, the number one thing I could never get over when I watch special teams tape, and I haven't missed a special teams play in 4.5 years, we started halfway through the 2021 season doing the special teams tape. We break down every single offense, defense, special teams play, every single one of them in three angles, all 22, end zone, opposite end zone. So, like, I've watched all of them. And the thing that drove me the most crazy about special teams is when we blocked for our punts, we're punting, we would allow the rushers to release inside. This is DFS number one thing. It drove me crazy. He did it every year. Blocks and releases to the inside where we're punting before the ball's kicked. Like, this is fundamentals 101 special teams. Release to the outside, not to the inside. You're supposed to block till the ball's kicked. We never did that. Drove me crazy. So, yeah, I know the scheme is better. I know the scheme is better. Law of awe, you are the one to say this. Unless you're the Jets. The law of averages can't stand the Jets. Yeah, they're so bad. Speaking of which, I wanted to talk about this. I thought this was awesome. And shout out to Zoo Kruger, not related to the Kruger I'm recording with tomorrow. He's a Jets beat. I think he's a Jets beat. I don't know. He works for another team, but he made this graphic. I think he made this. I don't know who made this graphic, but that's where I found it. It's every team's accomplishments in the past 10 years. So 10 years. And it breaks them down to teams that won multiple Super Bowls. That's Patriots and Chiefs. They're the only ones there. Teams that won a single Super Bowl. There's four teams there. Broncos, Eagles, Bucks, Rams. So six teams have won a Super Bowl. And I know there's some negativity to this, but I think that this is important. Six teams have won a Super Bowl in the past decade. That's it. Six teams that made a Super Bowl appearance. 49ers did twice. Bengals did once. Falcons did once. Panthers did once. And I think Seahawks got there twice in the past, maybe just once in the past 10 years. Now, so here's what I took from it. Six teams won a Super Bowl. 11 had a chance. Niners had two chances, didn't close it off. We understand that. But what's fascinating is the teams that never even had a chance. Never even had a chance. Didn't even sniff it. Never even made it to a conference championship. Now, the majority of the NFL is in the conference championship appearances. That 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12 teams. That's the largest grouping. That's the mean. That's the average. 12 teams there. But the teams that just won a playoff game but never even made it to the conference championship, there's five. The Texans, the Giants, the Cowboys. We know the Cowboys are there. The Browns and the Chargers. Teams that made a playoff but never even won. You've got the Raiders, the Bears, and the Dolphins. And only one team hasn't even made the playoffs, and that is the Jets. God of all, you are correct. Like, it's just fascinating to me how teams can't even get close. And I'm one of those. Like, again, certain absolutes piss me off. Absolutes is the way of the Sith. I'm not a big Star Wars guy, but I enjoy some Star Wars. But my thing is this. People will say, oh, well, is the Niners window closed? The Niners window is going to close next year. That's bullshit, man. That whole narrative doesn't even fit. It doesn't fit. Can you make it to the dance? Are you a team that's built to win playoff games? If those two things are true, the window ain't closed. The window ain't closed. And the Niners window has been open. And I've never been one of those that's, oh, this winner bust this year. I don't buy into that. Coaches don't buy into that. You make it to the dance, crazy things can happen. And the Niners have a team that is built not only to make it to the dance, but to win playoff games. I know that's hard for some people to hear. And if you get a good defense, and if your special teams doesn't cost you, as long as Shanahan's there, I think that this is a team that has chances. And the Niners have had chances. They haven't cashed it in. But so many of those teams haven't even got close. Sometimes it's better to be lucky than good. You fumble the ball 8 times in the Super Bowl, and you don't lose one? That's luck. I'm talking about the Kansas City Chiefs this year. 8 fumbles, you didn't lose one. 49ers fumbled 1 time, lost one. Sometimes that's the way it goes. And sometimes you screw up a hiring process and you don't even have a backup plan, or your backup plan is Brandon Staley, but you still get Robert Saleh. And I'm sorry, I know it's not a done deal, but I'm telling you, it seems like Robert Saleh is here. Things could go wrong. He could land with the Raiders. He could be a finalist for the Cowboys head coaching job. I get it. But where we are now, maybe the 49ers, who have not had lucky offseasons, Brock Purdy injuries, trading up for a quarterback that didn't work out, all the injuries, tendonitis to Christian McCaffrey. You remember when Shanahan said that Christian McCaffrey was probable for week 1 and there's a chance he could play, and then he didn't even play till the, like, we've had some bad ones. Ricky Pearsall getting shot, holdouts of Trent Williams and Ayuk and all those things. Maybe the stars have aligned. We've already re-signed D'Amador Lenore. Maybe it is better to be lucky than good. And I think maybe sometimes the ball has to bounce your way. Sometimes it's got to bounce your way. And maybe this is the start of something like that. I really hope it is. Hopefully you guys enjoyed this show as much as I did. Sometimes the shows are just for me, but you guys are incredible. We're going to be live 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time in the morning. And again, if you guys have not signed up yet, the way that I feed my family is through the 49ersrush.com. So if you want to support this show and you like positive content, which I think we put out most of the time, go to the 49ersrush.com. Go do it now. Free 7-day sign up. We have a Zoom hangout. This is where I get to talk to you guys, get to hear from you. Tuesday, the 28th of January. We do it every single month. Plus, you get all the video breakdowns, which, man, it's just going to be Draft Central coming to you guys soon. So come join us. Head to the49ersrush.com or go check out our Patreon page. Join us over there. You are the absolute best. Ah, sometimes it's better to be lucky than good. Till next time, stay strong, faith.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close.
Trade in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.